All right, good evening, church. It is. I enjoyed my time back home in North Carolina. It's a different type of heat. It's humidity. It's sweaty. And I come back off the plane, and this heat is just disrespectful. Like, 110 plus is insane. But at least I'm not drenched in sweat. So it's kind of like pick your poison. But once again, I am blessed to be back with you. My wife and kids, as you guys know, we're going to be in North Carolina for a while because we start camp next Tuesday. So I'm gonna miss my freedom, but it's a part of the job, and it's what I signed up for and what God has blessed me with the ability to do. So I won't keep us long today because I'm still feeling severe jet lag, but as promised, I am going to deliver this sermon. So today, it's, you know, I usually do kind of feel-good lessons about, you know, blessings and warm and, the gushy stuff that we all care about, but sometimes, as Bruce would tell you, you got to get a little gritty with, you know, with your brothers and sisters and kind of have a moment of truth in the mirror, and that's kind of what I'm going to preach on today. And my sermon title for today will be, As Such Were Some of You. And to start, to kind of see where we're going to take this, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And it reads, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I kind of had this on my mind because, you know, a lot of times, not necessarily with this church, but just with people, I see kind of the mistreatment of those who, you know, deal with some of those ailments that we just read in the verse. And I kind of had to remind ourselves that, you know, I believe everybody here is saved, but at some point we were in the world, we were of this world, or at some point in our Christian journey through our life, we've dealt with some of these things mentioned. And, you know, we see these people who may not be as fortunate as us, may not have the roof over their head, who may not have the car we drive, who may not, you know, may not just have the things of life that we kind of need to survive every day. And sometimes we can be kind of caught of turning a blind eye to them, you know, and that doesn't, you know, and the only way to eternal life through fighting for these things is through Jesus Christ and the baptism in his word, you know. And I know sometimes we kind of get caught of, you know, I'm saved, you know, not worried about everybody else that we should be saving. And in this, in the midst of saving those people, we got to forget we are called to evangelize. You know, we have to, like I just said, we avoid falling into this selfish trap of I'm saved, so I'm good, and the once saved, always saved mindset, because just because you've been saved and you're not doing what God called you to do, to evangelize others to his Christ, you might, the saved you think, you know, you have might be in jeopardy, because at the end of the day, we are to save the lost souls. You know, that joy when we come out of that watery grave of the eternal life that we may, you know, be get if we live faithful unto death, we have to be kind of relentless in trying to bestow that joy on others, as by how we teach, by how we live, by showing kind of the light that God instilled us to be in the world of this darkness. So let's read from 1 Peter 3:15. And I got a couple actually touching on this point, so we're going to hit a couple and then kind of sit back and reflect a little bit. We're going to start 1 Peter 3:15. Actually, I got about two, and then I'll jump over to Acts 17. But 1 Peter 3:15. And it reads, But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I was talking to, I was back home yesterday, you know, my sister-in-law has a baby shower, but I was talking to this man, and, you know, he asked me, he was like, how do you, being an NFL player that I am, how do you kind of keep that humbleness and that meekness, knowing, you know, that what you're blessed to do or what you're blessed to make, or seeing others who are really dominant in that game and, you know, and have the innate ability to just kind of shrug that off and be human with everybody else and be normal. And I told him, man, it's just, you know, I've just been a Christian. I've been raised in the church so long that I remember one of the fruits of the Spirit is the meekness and the humbleness, or maybe two of them. And I think by the way I carry myself, I think others will see that I'm of Christ, that I've been saved, that, you know, just because I'm blessed to be where I am, or, you know, you may be blessed to be where you are in the job or the career path that you are, doesn't mean you're bigger than anybody else. like my dad used to always say, sadly, we're all a couple of missed paychecks away from being some misfortunate ourselves. You know, he said that a long time ago, but it always resonated with me because, you know, when you think about it, you're like, he's got, you know, he's kind of right, you know. Two or three missed paychecks, we all might not have roofs over our heads, you know. Or even away, everything's digital. We don't even have it in our hands. So if all of a sudden you're, you know, whatever you have glitches and you said you have nothing, you have nothing. And I remind myself of that every day, every day I live. I don't put myself above anybody. And I expect this as Christians because we're taught to be meekness and the humble, to have that attitude that we put ourselves over nobody as well. So let's go look at, and as I was talking about earlier, as far as, you know, we try not to think about those who aren't saved and kind of worry about ourselves. Let's look at Acts 17, 30, 31, because, you know, I think a lot of, you know, we don't know what judgment day is like, but I think a lot of people on that day might try to hit the old ignorance card of, I didn't know or nobody told me. So there's an answer for that. So we're going to look at Acts 17, 30 and 31, and we'll touch back on that. And it reads, And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he appointed a day in the which we will judge the world in the righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Amen. Whew. Like I said, man, that I didn't know him, or I didn't know of, or I didn't, this, that, and the fourth would not work at the gates. But as Christians, as we are responsible to evangelize, I don't know what, obviously we don't know what judgment day will be like, but I'd hate to get there to the pearly gates and you see your friend, your neighbor, your cousin, your boss, or whoever, and before, as you're answering for him, they look over to you and say, hey man, hey lady, you never mentioned him to me. You know, we sing that song, we don't sing it often, but we sing that song here, you never mentioned him to me, and the first time I heard it was obviously a while back, but it's probably one of my favorites because I try to, as I go through the world, sometimes I do go about our daily routine as we all do. I forget sometimes that the people I cross every day are the same souls that needing to be saved. Amen. You know, you can only, I know you, our job is to preach. It's not to beat them in the head with the Bible. It's not to hold them down and, you know, force them to be saved. But at the same time, if we're not even attempting, we don't know what God can do with their heart. As long as we lay that foundation, as long as we sow those seeds, you never know what can happen. Amen. You know, and if you hear that, I feel like as a Christian, I failed. If I even down the years, down the road, I'll have some teammates who, you know, who've been my teammate, who've seen that I live in a positive life, who've seen that I don't do the worldly things that some others do, who've known me from my roots and will say like, and well, no, that cat's different. And sometimes just living that way, because I'm sure all of my friends I mentioned some at some point about, you know, what I do, where I go every Sunday and Wednesday and why I do it. But at some point, I want them to kind of to feel me, not hear me. That makes sense. Like I've been their friend, or I've been their brother, or, you know, their coworker, or whatever, for so long. I want them to know I'm different because of Christ in me. And that's the joy that I think we all should be working to evangelize others to have. So let's look at 2 Timothy 4, 5, and then we're going to go to 2 Timothy. Let's see. I think that's 2:15 as well. But let me look at 2 Timothy 4. Oh, boy. Hold on. 2 Timothy, yeah, 4:5, and then we'll go 2:15. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And I'm going to hit 2 Timothy 2:15, and I'm going to park there for a little bit as I finish this this point right quick. 2 Timothy 2:15. And it reads, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. So it says right there in black and white, that we are to do the work of evangelists and not be ashamed of doing the work of evangelists. Because as I've mentioned, I think either a sermon or two ago about the whole being canceled thing, that's kind of that kind of barks right in there with the shame thing. You know, you can't, I forgot which sermon it is, but I believe it says if you're ashamed of something like, if you're ashamed of God, I'll be ashamed of you on Judgment Day, something like that. I should have added that as well. But yeah, we're supposed to be shameless workers. We're called to be worker bees, if you will, of Christ, to portray his message, to not just like how we speak it, but how we live it, how we walk, how we talk, how we drive even. I mean, you know, you can't be a Christian, but you're cussing them in every out of word, every word you can think of in a road rage accident, because that's that's right along the lines of talking how you walk, you know. And it's as far as being a worker bees, it should be an insurmountable joy we get, because every time a soul is added, like a dear brother was added about a month ago, angels in heavens are rejoicing. You know, I know we rejoice and we sing songs and, you know, we feel that feeling as well. But just imagine that times, however many are in heaven. And just think about how many times a soul is saved and how many times, like, just think about that feeling they all get. It's like the ever surrounding joy that we can just not get a knot of, you know. Because a lost soul is a lost soul, you know. It's good that we, you know, not us, but just a lot of Christians in the world, we have these international missions that take us, you know, here, there, to, you know, spreading the gospel above all world, wherever God has created. But sometimes I feel like, me personally, I've been guilty of not looking in our own backyard. You know, like in the verse I mentioned, in 1 Corinthians 9:6-11, you know, the homeless, the formerly or currently addicted, the everyday man, the ones who are struggling with those ailments need our help just as much as those. You know, and sometimes I've been guilty of this in the past, or we all can be guilty. Sometimes we'll turn a blind eye to those people just by appearance or how they look, how they smell, something like that, where if we would, you know, just take the time, maybe buy them a meal, maybe, you know, maybe just talk to them. Hey, are you okay? Just ask them, just check on them. We're losing opportunities to evangelize by not checking on these people, even though they may not be the most favorable people. So let's look at Luke 10:33-37, the parable of the Good Samaritan that we all have known since we kind of started this. Being members, but Luke 10:33-37. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou, which was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I like that. We all like this, the Good Samaritan story, but I like this because it's not, I don't know what 2 pence is to the modern translation. Inflation is out this roof, so I don't know what that is this day. But it's not so much about the money. It's just about the heart he shows that I feel like as Christian hearts need to show as we evangelize and as we are supposed to be different of the world. Because if you look at him versus the first two or three that passed him, you know, there's not much of a difference. They're still your everyday man. But at the same time, he had the heart. He showed that Christian love to take care of this man, to be there, to you know, just be that brother that we're called, or sister that we're called to be, and to people in times of need, and not just our Christian brothers, but the world. Who knows? If you do this, just in metaphorically speaking, you help somebody like this, who knows? They'll come back to you. They're like, hey, man, why did you help me? Or hey, sis, why did you help me? What, you didn't have to do that. And you say it, and you tell them, because you're my brother, you're my sister. And that's an opportunity to evangelize, like I said before, because, you know, you never know what doing something today can segue into the future. Amen. You know, I've had people I've helped along the way, not financially, but just spiritually. Just, I may have helped them feed. I may have volunteered somewhere, and they see me, later and be like, hey, I remember you. Or even with, you know, watching my dad work, he's kind of, in his past, he's taken in people and opened our doors to, you know, countless people just to help them get back on their feet. And, you know, sometimes they stay, sometimes they stray away. That's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to evangelize and be the, you know, the nurturing creatures that we're meant to be. But I feel like every one of those people at some point has reached out to them or called and said thank you. Amen. And just because, it, like those people, a lot of people have turned their back on them, but, you know, he was willing. He had to open arms to take them and kind of nurture them and gather them, get them back on their feet. So even if they use those feet to walk away from, you know, the gospel, which we have no control over, at least he did his part by evangelizing, by showing the Christian love that we're supposed to have. And I think that's what gets lost in the wind sometimes as we go about our daily lives, that we're supposed to, as we live, we're supposed to be bringing people with us as well. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:20-21. And it reads, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we be made the righteousness of God in him. And then let me hit John 8:12 as well to kind of close up here before I give my conclusion. John 8:12. And it reads, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. So just touching back is, and just simple daily things that we can do can show, that we can, you know, show to others that we are the light of the world, that, you know, we're called to be the evangelists, the leaders of this world in a sense, you know. And I thought of this while reading this, that the light shine brighter in darker places. Amen. It's easy to be a light when, you know, we're all meant to be the lights of the world. It's easy to be a light when it's light, but the light's only, to me, is truly noticeable, or the true power of that light is only in the darker places. Think about it. You don't need light bulbs in the daytime. You don't need candles during the daytime. You need them in the night when it's dark, when you can barely see, when you need your path to be lit. And that's kind of what we're called to do, and why I think sometimes our light doesn't shine as bright as it should, because we're in the light places instead of going to the places that are dim, if you will, or the dark places of the world where they need it the most. So in conclusion, it is not our responsibility to judge others based on their situation they are in. And I'm just going to Matthew 7:1-3 before I finish it out. As we read in some of those first titles in the beginning, in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, it's not our responsibility to judge those who may be of that title or may be fighting some of those battles. That's not what we're here for. In Matthew 7:1-3 reads, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? So yeah, man, I've pretty much straightforward. It's not our job to be the ultimate judge. So we know there's only one ultimate judge that we will all meet on Judgment Day. Our job is to evangelize, to nurture, to be able to go to those dark places, to be the light that we're meant to be, to, regardless of circumstance, regardless of how you feel about that person, how you feel about this situation, you preach, and it's just that simple. You know, because the Bible says we sin every day in word, thought, or deed, and the only difference, the main difference is we're covered by the blood because we have been saved in the water grave of baptism, but the ones who aren't, the ones that need it the most, are the ones we need to be reaching out to. And if we get that mindset where we start to pick and choose who we evangelize, we're leaving lost souls in the dark that shouldn't be left, because we're saved now. But at the end of the day, we have to remind ourselves, sometimes as such were some of you. It's just that simple. It's that simple. So as we always do at the end of our sermon, we give the plan of salvation, where we're supposed to hear the gospel in Romans 10:17, believe what you have heard in Mark 16:16, repent of your sins, be baptized in Acts 2:38. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, Romans 10:9, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, also found in Acts 2:38. So if we have any requests or anyone who wants to put on the Christ's baptism, I think we're all saved in here. Please stand as Brother Kirk gives us our invitation. Thank you.